planning. We're going to call Conference Committee on Senate File 2175 to order. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll begin by having Council go through the side-by-side and reviewing your draft. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Madam Chair and Mr. Chairman, starting with subdivision one, the definition, the main difference there, is that the Senate language on the left side excludes the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Transportation, and Bowser from the application of the section, and the House language includes all executive branch agencies. In the second subdivision maximum price, what is happening here is that in the Senate language, the whole subdivision applies, as I see it, to property valued in excess of $100,000. In the House, it applies to all property, but allows an agency to pay more than 110% of the appraised value for property that is appraised at less than $110,000, as long as it isn't more than what the seller's appraisal is. So it's a slightly different approach, but the Senate applies that cap to all, or excludes all, everything under $100,000. Also, there's a difference in the reference to the appraisers. In the Senate language, you have the appraiser must hold a license issued by the Department of Commerce, and the appraisal has to be in conformance with the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. The House is doing the same thing, but has a reference that the appraiser must be licensed under Chapter 82B, which is the real estate licensing chapter of statute, for the type of property being appraised. And that reference is because there are some different types of licenses, and it was just to reference that, make that clear that it's a licensing appropriate to the type of property, which I believe under the Senate language would also apply no matter what. So it's not that there's a substantive difference, but there's an expression. It also is that the appraisal has to be done in accordance with the requirements of 82B. Again, the requirements in 82B include that it has to be done in conformance with the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice of the Appraisal Foundation. So it's a difference in presentation. I think the substance is the same. I think from the House point of view, citing a statute that puts people on notice where to find things is a useful tool. For the rest of it, the House also added language that says the appraised value does not include closing, relocation, and other costs authorized by law that is not in the Senate bill. And then the House has the additional sentence that was part of the floor amendment that the agency must not pay the seller's administrative costs, and the appraisal can't include administrative costs paid by the seller to acquire the property. And I believe those are the differences.
Very good. So it looks, it looks to me that in our informal discussions, I think we have had some agreement that, in fact, there was real good rationale for why the DNR and the Board of Water and Soil Resources were originally left off this bill. I understand that it's difficult to communicate that when you're in the middle of a debate on the House floor, so it would be my hope that we could adhere to that understanding.
Yeah, we did try to, Madam Chair, make that point on the House floor, but the amendment still went on. So we have one due on, would you like to, I think we should maybe take up the amendment, not a large lengthy or complicated bill, but we've circulated an amendment, but then you're going to have an amendment to the amendment,
right.
I think, or at least with the chairs. There's some consensus, so Madam Chair, what I will do is move the Senate Section 1, and then I will move the House Section 2 with the amendment that we have distributed, and you have an additional sentence that you would like to add to that amendment, and I think Senate staff is working on that, and they can read drafts back, and then I would just incorporate that in my amendment if you'd like to proceed that way.
Mr. Chair, I had understood it a little bit differently. I had understood it that we were actually, that the way the amendment is drafted, that we are using the Senate language as a framework, because you don't, in the amendment you have before us, there's doesn't say anything about deleting lines. And within the House language, you've got sentences that we're not going to be accepting. Well, he said he was going to move for subdivision to the House language with this.
The amendment to the, maybe Ms. Dyson can explain how the amendment interacts with the House section.
Please do.
Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, the amendment was just to add a report section uncoded. So I believe Senator Bonhoff is correct. That's taking subdivision one reinstates the exemptions for the three agencies. The House language subdivision two I believe to accomplish what you're proposing would should also, the amendment should also include that the beginning on the House side, 1.20, the sentence, the agency must not pay for any seller's administrative costs. The seller's appraisal must not include any administrative costs paid by the seller to acquire the property. Those two sentences would be deleted as part of the proposed amendment. And then otherwise, that House language for subdivision two minus those two, is that what the proposal is?
Well, Representative Carlson, that the way that you stated it with that addition would accomplish that, but I think it would be cleaner to just adopt the Senate language and add this section report. The other thing that we haven't agreed to and that's different, I don't mind the cross-reference of the pointing to the chapter 82B and would be happy to direct counsel to incorporate that, but you've also got a section on the House side that says if the real property is appraised at less than $100,000 by the agency and the seller, the agency may pay more than 110% of the agency's appraised value, but no more than the seller's appraised value. And in the Senate language, we just said $100,000 was, we didn't deal with that. So I
Madam Chair, I was just checking with staff, and what I should have stated, she had correct notation here, was that we would delete the sentence there that the seller's appraisal must not include any administrative costs paid by the seller to acquire the agency. And where do we stop here? Oh, at the end of that period. Okay. This is what we need to strike.
We also, the House, the Senate doesn't have this part. We just said we have 100,000. You've got conditions on that 100,000, so that really would be easier. Unless you feel strongly about that section, to just adopt the Senate. And you don't have to do any of that.
Does that work? See, we're well prepared here. Ms. Dyson, is what she's talking about, does that work from the language that we had you prepare?
Mr. Chair, they're somewhat unrelated. The language that I prepared just had to do with the administrative cost issue. Senator Bonhoff is referring to the threshold of $100,000 for whether or not this section applies at all. The House says, yes, it applies, but you can, here's how it applies. So if you take the Senate approach, then this whole appraisal, 110% value, those procedures don't apply. So the Senate
just to the 100,000.
To acquisitions under 100,000. The House says, yeah, the procedures still apply, but you can pay more than 110%
up to the seller's appraisal. But, so, it's a, that part is a one issue. The administrative costs, the language to delete in the house, those two sentences from the house, from the floor amendment, and the addition of this, the proposed language on the report, plus what I believe Mr. Fuller has to add to that, would, that's one issue. And then the 100,000 threshold is a separate issue.
I'm gonna counsel.
Well, Madam Chair, members, I agree with your motion to take the house language on referencing the statute because
right.
that's there. People don't know where they're
looking. Yep, exactly.
Things, okay. I agree with what Ms. Dyson said about, you know, this report is independent and we're gonna have language added to it. The issue of the applicability of the section, I think, merits a little bit of a policy discussion because if you're talking 10% and you're getting down to small numbers, I think that was a Senate thinking that you may catch some things where there's 11% difference and it's, you know, $4,000 or $3,000, and maybe it's a good judgment to do that. So that I think was the thinking, that when you start dealing with the percentage aspect of this, it becomes more problematic when the numbers are lower, the purchase values are lower. There's not the danger, so to speak, of expending money foolishly if that's what was thought is a danger.
Mr. or Representative Carlson, we had some testimony and some conversation, I believe, with Minsky that they wanted that flexibility on the 100,000. I do see that the folks from Minsky are here. I wonder.
Madam Chair, I'm beginning to recall that section. I think that I had conversations with Minsky as well, and I think the language we picked up was provided by Minsky.
Really?
Am I correct on that? Okay. It wasn't my language initially. I think it came from Minsky, and it was a compromise, or at least one of the state agencies. Maybe we should hear from it,
yep,
Madam Chair.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
For the record, I'm Greg Ewig, Director of Capital Development for the Minsky system. It's correct. We did provide some feedback on lines, I believe it was lines 1.20 and 1.21 in the House bill. That was to just clarify for our purposes what the threshold value was, whether we're including administrative or other costs, or if it's purely the appraised value of the property itself.
And with regard to the question of that property's value, the exception for the $100,000, that's what we're discussing right now, is whether or not they would just be exempted or whether there would be a process by which you could pay more than the appraised value but not more than the seller's appraised value.
Yeah, candidly, I don't recall the below the $100,000 threshold conversation. I think we don't have a lot of properties that we buy that are less than $100,000. We may have interests in easements that we've purchased that are less than $100,000. But we certainly, I would echo the Senate Counsel's remarks about, you know, if we have a $4,000 or $5,000 property, we would like to have a little bit of flexibility under the $100,000 level in which to settle those types of transactions.
Mr. Fuller?
I just looked closely at the House language, and they say they use the seller's appraised value than is the ceiling,
right,
which is a difference in the percentage. So,
right,
you know, some of my remarks were not particularly apt with respect to that, because there's a different ceiling.
Well, I'm okay with that if you want to stick with
I think we
language.
Should.
Okay, good.
I understand what Senate Counsel was saying if the numbers were extremely close, but even within 100,000, you could have quite a range. Would be what we were trying to get at. Does the House, Madam Chair, does the House language work for you? I just want to make sure then that, because we did have those discussions about small parcels that would be less than 100.
Yes, it should work. We could make the House language work.
Representative Polsky.
I'm fine.
Good. So it sounds like we just need to add, as noted, the deletions of the line 120 to 122. So we'll let's move the.
Yeah, with that correction to my original motion.
Great. So all those in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed, and now we've got an additional sentence that we're going to add, and the council could read that.
Mr. Chair, members, on the A1 amendment, long sheet, submitted with that, page 1, after line 9, insert a sentence to read, Commissioner, as part of the report, shall recommend whether exceptions to the requirements of Minnesota Statute Section 16B.297, which is the new law, so the exceptions to them, are necessary to protect the public interest, and make recommendations for appropriate exceptions, if any. So it's a two-step process. First, the commissioner decides whether there should be any exceptions at all, or whether the statute is adequate to protect the public interest. And then if he doesn't, the commissioner can make recommendations, which are, of course, not binding. It's part of the same report, and the legislature can consider whether or not they agree with any of the recommendations. The reasoning being that there was some concern in the Senate that perhaps if there might be some more flexibility needed if you were going to get like the last parcel for some big project and going through condemnation. Maybe it wasn't worth that much money in the abstract, but in the context of the value to the agency and putting together a project, it was worth that. So that was the concern.
Any questions, members, on that? Hello, Senator Miller. Nice to have you here.
Madam Chair, members, I apologize. I had two other conference committees this morning, so I've been trying to...
You're needed.
I've been trying to get in between all three of the committees this morning, so I apologize for being late.
Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, we don't have sometimes quite the number of conference committees, but then there's twice as many House members. So.
Right.
Sometimes that's an issue. You don't like to set up any more conference committees because...
You
have a resource problem, and sometimes the number of people that will be on the House or Senate floor.
So Senator Miller moves the fuller statement as stated. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. So now the conference report is before us.
Madam Chair, maybe we should provide an opportunity if anyone in the audience wants to comment on where we're at now.
Sure. So if there is somebody who would like to come forward for public testimony, and the other thing is I neglected to have the conference committee members introduce themselves and say where they represent. So I would like to, while we're doing that, just go around, say who you are and where you represent. So.
Jeremy Miller, Senate District 28, Winona, Houston, Fillmore Counties, and I'll say that southeastern Minnesota is well represented with the two House members on the other side of the table here.
Greg Clausen, I serve the communities of Apple Valley, Rosemont, Northeast Lakeville, and Coates, and that's District 57.
John.
John Fuller, Senate Council.
And I represent the communities of Minnetonka, Plymouth, and the little city of Woodland.
And I'm Len Carlson, one of the newer members of the House, and represent these days, after 42 years, my district lines have changed every once in a while. So currently, about half the city of Crystal, most of New Hope, and a part of Plymouth.
And now we're contiguous.
That's right. I used to be contiguous with Minneapolis when I had Robbinsdale.
Right.
Gene Pulowski, parts of Winona County.
Steve Druskowski, parts of Wabasha, Winona, and Goodhue, and a small portion, actually, of Dodge County.
Very good.
Deb Dyson, House Research.
Okay. So, anyone want to testify? Looks like people are happy with where we're at. Yes, Representative Duskowski.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering if we could review again. One of the, and I understand that the desire is to not have the Bowser and DNR and transportation language, or to have the exceptions included in there for them. could we hear from at least one of them again? I remember discussion of them saying, well, we've already got an administrative rule, therefore we don't need it, and I wonder about that.
Great. So perhaps DNR? Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski, Susan Damon, Land Acquisition and Legal Services Manager from the DNR. The DNR originally requested that we be accepted from the bill because we already have procedures. We're subject to Minnesota Statute Section 84.0272, on which the bill was originally based. And the reason that we asked to be accepted from the bill was that in addition to an appraisal requirement, there are also several exceptions for the DNR to acquire lands other than by appraisal. We're allowed to conduct minimum valuation procedures for lands that are $100,000 or less, and then we're also allowed to acquire several types of easements, including trout stream easements, native prairie bank easements, and Army compatible use buffer easements by formula. And these greatly reduce our acquisition costs rather than having to pay for appraisals, and they also speed up the process of land acquisition.
Representative Drazkowski, I just wanted to add to that. A couple of years ago, I had a constituent who the DNR had bid on their land as part of a land acquisition initiative they were doing, and it was at the time when the bottom fell out of the market. And so they first started bidding on it, and then the appraised value like lost huge amounts. And so they were not able to actually then pay what the seller sought, and it took a year of wrangling. And so I know firsthand that they have very rigid guidelines because my constituents were very unhappy and were trying to do something legislatively to be able for them to get what they felt was fair value, not appraised value, because the appraised value had gone down. And it was pretty contentious, and so that's when I had my understanding of just how limited that statute really is. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, you know, Ms. Damon, I know of, and I shared it with Representative Carlson on the House floor, I've had situations, interactions with the DNR and private landowners who had joined parcels of land that the DNR has expressed interest in, and many times, and what my experience has been, when the DNR wants to get land, they get it. There's one particular example that I remember very clearly around St. Charles in the Whitewater State Park, where a constituent and their family desired to go back and purchase the home farm back that had left the family for some reason at some point, and they were unable to compete with the DNR. What had happened, of course, and this happens often, and you've got these NGO groups that your agency articulates with around these land purchases, who came in, and I don't remember what the increase in price was above what the market was providing, but it was a huge increase that the NGO paid for the land above what the market value was. And then, you know, 2-3 years later, the DNR went and executed the purchase from the, I don't remember which NGO group it was. But is there the ability in your rules or your procedures, I'm not sure what if those are actually written in administrative rule, or is it you just, you know, is it just, you know, informal? So that's one question. And then the other question is there an element or the ability, given those rules, for your agency then to provide the same price or a similar price based off of what that NGO paid for the land rather than an appraised value?
Ms. Damon.
Senator Bonhoeff, Representative Drazkowski, we have an operational order that governs our internal procedures. Currently, we're operating under a commissioner's policy that because our operational order is being revised. We do have the ability, we would appraise the land under those circumstances. We do have the ability in certain circumstances, if we have sufficient funds in the negotiation bank, to pay more than appraised value, but that would be subject to the commissioner's approval. More than 10% above the appraised value, that is.
Representative Jasikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Damon. So what I'm hearing, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, is that the agency is saying that they do have the ability to go above the 110%. Maybe that's the will or the interest of the group here. I don't know. But it seems to me that the House language would encompass them as well and make certain that their practices and procedures did conform with the intended bill.
Representative Jasikowski and Ms. Damon, and did you talk about the banked amount?
The banked amount. There would have to, Senator Bonhoeff, Representative Jasikowski, there would have to be sufficient funds. In order to do that, there would have to be sufficient funds in a negotiation bank, which is governed by 84.0272, which is the sum of accumulated differences between purchases under appraised value. And so we would have had to have purchased sufficient properties under appraised value to have the funds to enable us to exceed the 10% above appraised value.
So, Representative Jasikowski, in other words, were you aware of that part of it, that they actually are limited by, if, you know, over 4 years they've consistently been buying things at a below value price, then every time it's below value, the difference goes into a bank, and so to make the exception to go over, they have to have that money in the bank. And there was some thought about, do we want to do that with ours? And I don't know about Chair Carlson, I didn't have any interest in that, because to me, you know, we're talking about disparate agencies. We don't need to have a bank that is like a slush fund, but it's different in terms of they're all one agency, and they do have a pretty strict process for how to access those funds.
Well, Madam Chair, I was not familiar with that, but I don't know that that, at least the way my mind works around this, that changes things. I would expect that the people of Minnesota would expect that should an agency pay less for a parcel of land here, thank goodness our government's working on our behalf. And then after that, let's follow the law, state government, whatever that is. And we're expressing what that is here today.
Yeah. So, and again, Representative Jasikowski, I can totally understand your view on that, and that's why I wasn't interested in pulling that language into this bill. But I did understand it's such a comprehensive practice that they've been doing over the years that I think it's worthy of a different bill, a different legislative look. It would have taken a lot of testimony. You would have been hearing from people all over the state who have, you know, partnerships with the DNR, the various parks and trails. And so I think it's a bigger, broader change than we felt we could tackle with this bill, and that's why we also exempted it. But I encourage you to take that on.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah,
Madam Chair, but that was the point I made on the House floor, was that these other issues, and this would be one, probably should go through the committee process and have a thorough discussion. I do have a question. How frequently does that situation come up within DNR land purchases?
Ms. Damon.
Is it fairly common that you would purchase some under and use those savings, in other words, to purchase a more difficult parcel to acquire?
Senator Bonhoeff, Representative Carlson, we do use that. It just depends partly on the real estate market. So I don't have the exact statistics for you here today.
Madam Chair, I wasn't asking for it. I was just asking if that's something that happens frequently or not, that you would use the so-called bank dollars. But if you don't have that at the tip of your tongue, that's fine.
Senator Bonhoeff, Representative Carlson, I believe that procedure is not the norm. It's used less frequently than purchasing for below the appraised value or between the appraised value and 10% over appraised value.
Madam Chair, that answers the question. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's not the norm.
Thank you.
And I believe, while we've been having this discussion, we're done. Thank you, Ms. Taylor. I believe Mr. Fuller has identified another questionable statement that we just want to understand.
Not a questionable statement. So my understanding is we're taking the Senate Subdivision 1, and then we're taking the House Subdivision 2 with the sentences on 1.20 after law and ending with property on to delete it, the amendments, and then the amendment to the amendment. So the one thing we haven't talked about, and it would be good to have an understanding on, is a sentence that begins on line 19 on page 1, particularly the phrase, other costs authorized by law. So it says appraised value does not include closing, relocation, or other costs authorized by law. What does that mean?
Does somebody have some insight with regard to that?
Senator Bonhoeffer and Representative Carlson, I don't have an answer of what other costs authorized by law might include. It was language that was recommended by, I believe, by the folks from Minsku when they asked for to clarify what appraised value was to include, that it wasn't to include those things. So if there are examples of what that is, useful to the committee.
Madam Chair, as he's coming forward, that language we basically was that whole area there was requested by Minsku, and was trying to resolve some of the concerns that they had. So they're the best ones to speak to it.
Senator Bonhoeffer, Representative Carlson, thank you. It was designed. We didn't have anything specific in mind. We were just trying to contemplate what could come up in the future. We were mostly focusing on. Primarily the kind of the closing costs that are involved in a transaction. If there had been other, for example, special assessments or other things involved, I think maybe that was what was originally thought of when we were trying to capture some language here.
Mr. Fuller.
Well, Madam Chair, members, the appraisal is supposed to be done according to certain standards. And I'm not extremely knowledgeable, but it would seem to me that those standards would dictate what you include in an appraisal. So when you list three items that it does not include, including one that the cost could be anything under the sun, that may or may not be exclusive, I would say a certain amount of caution is perhaps prudent. But usually when you don't understand what a term means in a law, it's paused for some thinking.
Madam Chair, I don't know. The explanation doesn't seem to fit.
No.
They're anticipating something they can't describe. I would prefer we don't put into law something that no one can explain.
So, Representative Pawlowski, would you rather strike the whole sentence, or would you choose to just say the appraised value does not include closing or relocation costs?
Well, Madam Chair, if closing and relocation can be defined, all right. But the other costs authorized by law, I'm good with just deleting the sentence, but I would move to delete the sentence if Representative Carlson is amenable to that.
I think I'm open to that. My initial reaction was to maybe remove that last phrase, but maybe we could ask Minsku if
sure.
They have a comment about that.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify, I mean, closing costs are the typical closing costs, which would be, you know, everything from title work, that sort of thing. Relocation costs. There's some language in the Minsky statute regarding acquisition about relocation costs, so we want to be clear about that. And I think, you know, we certainly could live with the striking of the last clause, if so moved.
Mr. Fuller?
Well, there's a second reason for sort of pondering this, which is there's a statutory interpretation maxim called expressio unis exclusio alteria. So you're including two things as not being an appraised value. And intuitively, it doesn't look like they should be. I mean, they have nothing to do with the value of the land. And so it conjures up the argument that maybe there's some other things that one wouldn't normally expect to be included in the appraisal. Could be because they're not excluded, and so again, I'm a novice in this area. But it seems like if you're using some accepted standard, you're requiring some accepted standard to be used, that should encompass what's included in the appraisal. That's my intuitive sense.
Madam Chair, I think I need to take that sentence out.
Very good. So moved. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Sentence is gone. Okay. Now we have before us Senate File 2175 as amended. Is there a motion?
I'll move, Madam Chair.
Representative Pawlowski moves 2175 be recommended to pass as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is passed. Thanks very much. The work of the Conference Committee is concluded.
Are you with us?
That
is no. That's just okay. A private conversation.
We hope so, Representative.